Hello, everybody around the world. You are on the Mike and Abe show. We are two New York City taxi drivers, owners, peons, whatever you want to call us. Okay, all right. But we are faithful to the industry, and we do this show every Sunday around the world. You can hear us. And I got Mike here. Mm-hmm. I'm Abe, and Mike is in Queens, New York, the famous borough of
toiling
Queens.
away in the doldrums of summertime.
Yeah.
The summertime is here, boys and girls. The summertime is here.
Yeah, what's the temperature?
And the temperature is about 80 or 90.
Okay.
But I'm kind of like, the summertime has bee-slapped me in the face to figure out why it's such a mess with this whole Uber fiasco.
Yeah.
I've been driving around our local taxi garages, and the day shifts are getting out pretty nicely. The day shifts are getting out with the cabs. And the problem with at night, what the Uberians apparently have done,
mm-hmm.
is they flooded the streets with nighttime Uber cars. And instead of, they talk about loyalty. I know they screwed us with this Uber crap, but their own rank and file, their own drivers who were driving full-time for Uber, they flooded the street with nighttime Uber cars for people who have regular jobs, and now they're taking their cars into work and working maybe 2 or 3 hours a night with their car for Uber. So you get a guy who has a regular 9-to-5 job,
right,
and now he's double dipping, or she's double dipping, with a Uber car at night to pick up maybe 40 or 50 bucks, bringing that car into the city from usually Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, even sometimes they bring it into Manhattan. And they go on the Uber platform for like 3 or 4 hours. So the regular full-time Uber driver makes nothing now.
Mm-hmm.
And the city is flooded with a bunch of people who just want to, you know, make 30 or 40 bucks. Basically, they just go out to pay for their parking and their gas to bring their car into work now. It's a complete disaster. And I just wonder, at what point does de Blasio do anything? Now, hey, we were talking about some other stuff over the year. But I'll tell you, the taxi garages, the day shift is going out because apparently a lot of Uber guys don't want to work in the daytime. They can't get to their fares in the daytime by traveling to them. The yellow cab, somebody puts their hand in the air with the cab's there, that's your fare. So, mm-hmm. but the Uber driver has to drive around and meet a person, and you're not going to do it in daytime traffic. So it's a huge problem, and I'll tell you, I can see why a lot of these nighttime yellow cab drivers have got disgusted and walked away to do other stuff, because it's a hot economy, and you have this onslaught of Uber drivers after 5 o'clock. So it's a big problem, and de Blasio has done nothing, in my opinion.
Hold
you
on.
Know,
de Blasio was on New York One this past week. Okay, I watched the video.
Oh, that's wonderful. Our problems are over.
Yeah, well, he said that he talked to Errol Lewis, okay, actually Errol Lewis is very concerned about this stuff. Or either he's uh-huh. very concerned, or he just sees it as a good topic to bring up on his show. Okay, the situation
right.
with the taxis. Okay, but I think he's concerned. Mm-hmm. I think he's genuinely concerned, and he wants to report on what's going on. And de Blasio said, quote unquote, okay, I mean, not exactly. I'm not going to quote him exactly because I don't have him. But he did infer, okay, in what he said, that the city council is working on measures that will give the yellow taxis part of their some of their exclusivity back, perhaps cap the Uber cars,
right.
whatever, and that there's many bills, 7 or 8 bills that are being introduced, okay, and they're going over them with all of the big people involved to see what's fair for everybody, okay.
Yeah.
And by the end of July, he thinks all of this will be in. And you can say that's BS. Or you can say it's just talk. A lot of it is, talk, lip talk, they call it, lip service, you know.
Right.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
Action speaks louder than words. And I'm saying that's very nice, but let's see the action. Okay. You know, enough of this talk
this
already. There's nothing to talk about anymore. Everybody knows what's bothering people. Everybody knows what needs to be done. And I do want to say, I'm looking at the Times Square camera right now, and there are many, many yellow cabs out there. Many, okay?
Anybody in them? Anybody in them?
Can't tell. It's an aerial view, okay? So I don't have a close-up,
all right? Well,
this
is the problem.
Okay?
Yeah, this is a problem. Like, you know, there's a lot of yellow cabs. More coverage is getting out.
Yeah.
But there, a lot of people, they're in the Hamptons. They're on their vacation. They're away. And like I said, we really have to start looking at other alternatives so the drivers can make money. One thing that happened, hey, we did a list of topics.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-show. Now, if we could just ramble off for some of our listeners in the audience there, what are we going to
Discuss today? I have that. Well, the first thing I want to talk
about...
Rattle off what the topics are. A couple of things you wanted to talk about. One was de Blasio, which we already addressed somewhat, and I think you have a lot more to say about him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And folks, Mike, after years and years of it being there, has just discovered that there's a taxi stand on 49th Street across from the skating rink between 5th and 6th Avenue, okay?
Right.
All right. I remember that taxi stand from long ago. You don't need a taxi stand there, okay? But you can sit there and wait if you need a fare, if you're hurting for a fare, because a lot of people are at Rockefeller Center there, okay? Still called that, right?
And honestly, Abe, that taxi stand between 5th and 6th on 49th Street to the left, I think one of the problems was I never noticed it because there's always a bus, there's always a truck, there's always a thing sitting in the taxi stand.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, I said, man, this thing must have been here for a zillion years. And there's also, of course, it says taxi stand and then on top there's a no standing sign. So it begs the question, is it an active taxi stand? Can you go in? Basically, can you go into a building and take a leak if you leave your cab there? Or are you getting a ticket?
No.
You can't.
No, I wouldn't, attempt that.
I've been in the business.
No.
Right. I've been in the business for, I mean, it gets down to the point. What would be cheaper, to take a leak next to the cab or take a leak inside a building? I mean,
if you take a leak next to the cab at that location, you can expect to be arrested. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So there are better places in the city to take a leak on the street where nobody will care. And you know, those are my secrets from long ago. All right. One difficulty taxi drivers have always had is finding places to take a leak when you really can't wait any longer. Okay.
Well, this isn't one of the other little perks of...
I know. We don't have many
perks driving at night.
Yeah,
but, I mean, at least you can hop into a place and take a leak. I had one guy, when I was back at the fleet, the guy was a little seedy to begin with. So, of course, he left every time I would get the cab from the guy, it would look like a crime scene, okay?
Yeah.
And I would literally have to just throw my clothes directly into the laundry bag when I got home, because the guy was just... I think he walked out of a shelter or something.
Yeah.
Or like an animal, worse than an animal.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, listen to me.
Wait, I know, but I didn't finish.
You didn't finish.
You asked what kind of a taxi stand it is, okay?
And, I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right, okay. You know, there are two kinds of taxi stands, all right? And I think it's still the same as when I was driving, and it's already a few years since I've been driving. But there are the red ones that say taxi stand, and that is a legal taxi stand where you can sit in your car or stand next to your car, but you have to be on the scene, okay, waiting for a fare, okay? That's the red sign. And then there's the white sign that says relief stand, up to 1 hour. There you could park your taxi and do whatever you want. Limit 1 hour, but that's if they're paying attention to the time. I don't think they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people leave it there for 2 hours or 3 hours, which isn't fair to the other taxi drivers. Okay,
and the other thing is they've opened up some of these stands for FHV and Uber cars. So it used to be just the good old fashioned yellow cab could sit there. And now everybody and their brother's sitting there. And these guys, they sit on their ass and they don't do anything. They just sit there in their freaking FHV car
for hours. They shouldn't sit at a taxi stand that's a relief stop. Okay?
Right.
It should be used specifically for taxis to be able to go find themselves a way to, you know, relieve themselves. All right?
Right.
And if they're going to open them up to more cars, then they should install more taxi stands. Okay.
Exactly. If you're going to double the amount of cars, you should have doubled the amount of taxi stands.
You know, I always advocated this, and I used to write about this, okay? And my idea was simple, okay? Most of the streets along the avenues, most of the streets along the avenues have parking meters, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, look, you know, when I was driving, I used to say to myself, I wouldn't mind putting, you know, 50 cents into a parking meter just to be able to go to the toilet when I'm desperate, okay? So so my idea was, if they don't want to lose money by installing a free taxi stand, you know, on every corner, right? Then why can't they reserve like every other block, say going down Second Avenue between 47 or all the way down Second Avenue from way uptown all the way down to where it ends at Houston Street. Okay, why can't mm-hmm. they just set aside 1 metered space for taxis only?
Right.
Okay, and you
and
if you don't see one open, you keep driving. You know, within a few blocks, you'll see one open. You pull in there. Put your 50 cents in, you know, whatever you think, you know, whatever you think you need to do. I mean, and, right. you know, and especially in places where there are, like, luncheonettes or, you know, places where you can use, okay? And I know right. sometimes these places aren't friendly to taxis, okay?
no kidding.
All right. Now, there used to be one on First Avenue and 29th Street. There was a diner there, okay? And then they made it a bike lane, okay?
Yep.
So that was the end of that. That wasn't right, all right? I used to use that taxi
stand. Let me just jump in there real quick. There is more and more proof coming out that the bike lanes are killing the businesses on the side of the bike lane. I talked to this guy, Charlie. Great mm-hmm. cab driver. He's a 3-3 hack license number beginning, so he's been driving for about maybe 40 years. He said he knows a deli that he used to go to all the time. The guy said he's going out of business. He's got to get rid of the place. I said, why? Because the rent? He goes, no, not so much the landlord raising the rent, but the bike lane has just killed the business, because he said he used to have a lot of people who would jump in to grab something and, you know, jump into the deli, double park real quick, grab a sandwich, grab a quart of milk or whatever, then go. And the bike lane has destroyed that. So the bike lane idiocy has destroyed a lot of the businesses on the side of the bike lane. And I don't know who the people are in this town. The problem, Abe, is like everything, as you know, you watch TV like me, is Trump. It's this constant Trump, Russia, Trump. What about the little issues? What about the guy who's going out of business because of a dopey bike lane from, what's her name? From the Department of Transportation. What's the woman's name? Polly Trachtenberg. She always every other sentence she says, I worked for Obama.
Well,
Polly, I worked for Obama.
Well, Obama is that's right. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Right.
Let me say this. I was in New York. It's been 2 years since I was listening in New York, and there used to be a diner on 86th Street and First Avenue. It was there for 100,000 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where I would actually park on First Avenue, either on the left side of the street or the right side of the street, and and I was able to put a dollar in the parking meter, okay, and go into that diner anytime I needed to go to the toilet, okay, and there was usually a spot open somewhere. Okay, and or I would go in there and I'd spend money. I'd eat. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And the last time I was in New York, I saw they put a bike lane in over there, and the diner was out of business. The diner was out
there
of business.
Bingo.
And so was the diner that was on 29th Street and First Avenue, out of business.
Right.
Okay.
And I'll tell you something else. They keep saying all this crap about Amazon. Listen, Amazon doesn't sell scrambled eggs and bacon. Amazon, don't blame Amazon for everything. You can blame Polly Trachtenberg and the wackos of the Department of Transportation who got bike lane happy. Hey, there's a bike lane on 2nd Avenue on the left side at the throat of the Midtown Tunnel. There is a painted bike lane at the throat of the Midtown Tunnel, leaving Manhattan. So you tell me if they know what they're doing. I got to take a picture. We got to put that on the.
Yeah,
on the
I want that picture.
Yeah,
get me that picture.
Lunacy.
Okay.
Lunatic.
Yeah, I want to put that picture on the website.
Yeah. Okay. Real quick, but let me jump back to to the slob cab driver that I used to work with for about 2 weeks. So this is a guy who used to. He always come in late. Day driver. He used to always come in late. The front of the cab used to look like a crime scene. And he always had, it always smelled like funky butt. Like he didn't wash It always had that little, like, uriny, crappy, kind of like funky smell. And I just, I said, listen, what is with this guy? Why do you need this guy here? He goes, oh, well, he's been here 40 years. I said, yeah, he hasn't taken a bath in years. He goes, well, I don't know, I can't do nothing about it. So one day I saw a Gatorade bottle on the floor. And so I said, oh, Jesus, let me throw this thing out. So I take his garbage, take the Gatorade bottle, he goes, No, don't throw out the Gatorade bottle. I said, why? What happened? Is it, there's nothing in it. He goes, no, that's the bottle I used to pee in. And I said, I said, what? And I looked at it. I was disgusted. He goes, no, don't throw it out. So that's the, and like, it, and I had seen this bottle squashed on the side for like about a week. Mm-hmm. So it's not only the bottle he used to pee in that day, it's the bottle that he had for probably like, weeks at a time. His bottle, his pee bottle, was that Gatorade bottle. Not even getting a new bottle of it. So I told the boy, I said, listen, the guy, he's got, I don't know, it's nothing you can do, so I left the garage. So, and I'll tell you something else. This is the last thing on the day drivers. Some of these fleets are kissing the day driver ass to the point where they're losing night drivers. Because, you know, it ain't broken, they'll fix it. They want to get all their day shifts out because of this, all this drama going on with Uber. And the night driver is now like the bastard child. They said, so long as all the day shifts get out, they're happy. And now some of these day drivers are taking advantage. They're coming in, they're bringing cars back into Queens at 5:15, 5:30, 4 to 6, and they all say, oh, I couldn't get a good time because of the traffic. Oh, the traffic. It's like, yeah, we all know about the traffic, but your shift is supposed to either be 4 to 4, 5 to 5, If a night driver is getting a cab at 6 o'clock and you get a reputation, this is important, fleet people. If your garage gets a reputation as having the day drivers coming back at 5:30 or 5:45, guess what? You're not going to have night drivers. So I don't know why some of these garages don't crack the whip or at least give a deep discount to night drivers or at least charge more to the guys for coming in late, because it's becoming a real problem. And Abe, this weekend, I was telling you earlier, I drove all over Queens trying to scope out what's happening. It was a bloodbath for getting night shifts out. The day shifts apparently went out. I mean, even on the Saturday or the Sunday, the day shifts are going out. But the night shifts are going out, and especially in Brooklyn or in Queens where these guys come in late. And, I mean, aside the fact, you'll have a day driver coming in late and leaving his Gatorade piss bottle in the cab with newspapers all over the place. Mm-hmm. All right? It's not exactly, it doesn't exactly make you salesman of the year. If you're looking for night drivers and saying, I can't understand why I don't have any night drivers. Yeah, because you have last month's New York Times, you have a Gatorade bottle that smells like piss, and you have a guy up and taking a bath in 5 months coming in at 6 o'clock. That's why you don't have any night drivers. Anyway, okay. That's my rant on that.
Okay, let me just emphasize that's not true with all the cabs, only the ones you've experienced. Okay. All right.
Only the ones that, those are the garages I like.
And I want to say something. There's a bill now at the city council that's been introduced to install a direct button to directly call the police in the event of, you know, if you're having a problem with your passenger and you're afraid that you might be, abused in some way.
Hold on, Mike. I'm not done.
You're jumping over me. Just wait a minute. I want to say something about that, and that is, why bother? Why don't you just put have a bill in Congress that they should install a hose that goes from the bottom of the taxi outside the car right up into the crotch of the driver, so he doesn't have to worry about where to pee. All right.
Right, exactly. Okay. Well, that would be a good button.
Yeah.
A pee button. Here's the thing. Make it a law that everybody has to give a deposit to the cab driver, okay? Say, listen, you got to give a $20 deposit when you get in a cab. All these fights and arguments and problems with people getting in cabs, 99% of them is because the guy doesn't have any money or is whining about, oh, why did you, he's making an excuse not to pay. So all this BS about another gadget to buy is ridiculous.
Well,
we have cell phones. What do we need a button
what
for?
They could
What's
do?
The button going to do?
I'll tell you what they could do. I got a call from the other driver on my taxi, okay? One of the drivers on my taxi.
You're seeing other people. You're seeing other people. Is that what you're telling me?
No. I got a call about a week and a half ago, about 9:30 at night, right? What's the matter?
Right.
The passenger in the taxi is complaining that the taxi equipment won't take her credit card because she has to enter a PIN number. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Like everybody else.
I don't know. The thing wouldn't take her PIN number and this and that, and I don't know what was going on, okay? But
bullshit. That's what was going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What happened was I told her, well, use another credit card, and that's what she did, okay? But what you're inferring is that people should leave a deposit as soon as they get in the taxi. And what I'm saying is perhaps when they get in the taxi, they should either leave a small deposit, okay, depending on the length of the ride, or swipe their credit card to show that the credit card is valid and that there'll be no problem at the end of the ride. Okay?
Right. If you're pre-approved, no problem.
Right.
But if you get in and you start saying, oh, why did you take the left turn instead of a right turn? All this, a lot of people just have these patented winning formulas of how to attempt to beat the cab.
And
invariably, they just don't want to pay. There are deadbeats in the system.
When passengers say, why did you do this and that, my simple answer is, if you would have told me before I did it, I would have been happy to do what you wanted. That's all. You know, in other words, why the hell are you telling me now?
Yeah, at the end of the ride. Why are you telling me this at the end of the ride?
Right.
Yeah, it's all bullshit.
You know, I don't need to be graded, okay?
Right.
You know, like an Uber idiot. You know who has to get a grading. You know, you grade the passenger, you grade the driver.
Yeah.
You know, we're not looking for grades. Okay, we're just looking to earn money. Okay, and to earn it fairly, and so that nobody gets cheated. Okay, either the driver or the passenger. Okay.
Well, I had a nice little grading experience. And, you know, the problem was, here's another thing with the GPS and all this high-tech mumbo-jumbo. First of all, I jump back to the opinion, this button is probably some $400 thing that these vendors who are always trying to sell stuff to the taxi commission, whereupon the taxi commission shrugs and says, okay, and makes everybody buy it. Makes everybody buy a piece of Chinese crap that costs $3 to make by political slaves in China.
We already
sell it to us for $450.
You know, we already have a panic light on the back of the cab, right?
Yeah.
Which nobody ever
Nobody ever
uses. I remember seeing those lights flashing on and off and nobody paying any attention. Right? So what are you gonna do? Call the police and they'll go, what's the problem? You know? The last thing the police want is for 2,500 cabbies to call them a day to say, this passenger's giving me a hard time, you know?
Yeah. I remember one time I had a problem, this was like years ago, and first of all, I said, oh man, let me hit the trouble light, because I don't know, this guy looks a little weird. Like, he was crazy. He wasn't, like, threatening. He was just like a nut. I was like, man, let me get... So I hit the trouble light. So the trouble light is blinking in the back, whereupon it lights up constantly in the back of the cab, so you can easily see that there's some blinking at night behind the cab.
Mm-hmm.
And so as this nut's leaning through the partition, wild-eyed with sweat pouring out of his face, stunk up. He just jumped in. I don't know how this guy get in the cab. But he's leaning over, talking all kinds of crap. And so some guy pulls up to me on the left and goes, "Hey, you got your blinker on in the back." I said, okay, thank you. So no cop, no nothing. Just a guy telling me I had my blinker on in the back, which was the trouble light, and I still have this nut in the cab, who, of course, ran away and just went into, like, the terminal or something. So the trouble light is just a wake-up time. We have cell phones. We have police all over the place. This is just another little grossly overpriced thing to be that they're going to mandate, or they want to mandate and force the yellow cabs to buy. And let me tell you something else. This with paying in advance, the subway gets money in advance, the bus gets money in advance, the airplanes get money in advance, McDonald's gets money in advance.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to McDonald's. You got to pay before you get your food.
Sorry, buddy. Like Mickey D's, they get their money up front, let me tell you. And I've seen some of the sketchy characters at Mickey D's. They ain't sending over a waiter to get the bill. No, because, I mean, they would never get paid. So Mickey D's gets their money up front, Burger King money up front. All these people get money up front. And, John, by the way, Abe, speaking of money, at what point do we stop eating the 5% credit card fee that most cabbies have to pay now? Is a fair decrease, because when it first started out, we had to do an introduction. Oh, it's a 5% discount to get people to have the credit card. That was back when maybe 20% of the people were using credit cards. Now maybe 75% to 80% of the people are using credit cards and cabs, and we're getting 5% less money per fare. We're losing money. We're losing 5% on credit card charges for the drivers. So not only have we not gotten a fare increase of 10 or 15%, but we're losing 5% on those additional 60% of charges that are now coming in. So the credit card charges have jumped from 20% of our fares to what is 75% of our fares. So there are, let's say, an additional 50% of fares that we're now getting hit with 5% credit card. Why are we giving a discount for credit cards? I see the gas stations. Everybody else whacks you with a credit card. You go to buy gas. There's a cash price for cash. And the price for credit is usually about 10% more at the pump. So we shouldn't be giving a 5% discount for credit cards. Okay, the introduction is over. Everybody knows about the credit card. Everybody knows how to use it. The people in the cabs would have no problem paying a 3% charge for credit cards. All right, why are we getting a fair decrease on credit? Why are we losing money giving people the option of taking a credit card? This is ridiculous. And the other thing, Abe, that said, let's go into the De Blasio thing we were talking about. With now that Cuomo has stuffed this thing, $250 per ride starting in January, here comes De Blasio, the king of the homeless and the dregs and the poor and the street people and the guy who got 13% of the registered voters. He won because the majority of his base came out, but the other 87% of the registered voters apparently did not come out. And he got reelected mayor, and he is now seeing maybe the MTA is going to get $400 million a year if the yellow cabs get $2.50 a ride shoveled into the MTA, which is ridiculous. That says all things being equal. A lot of people aren't going to go for that. And De Blasio said, hey, $400 million. How can I get my hooks into that $400 million? I know. I'm going to give really cheap Metro cards to the worst dregs in society and the poor. And I'm saying, well, what do you mean the poor? I'm the poor. You're the poor. We're all. What about why are the poor giving subsidies to the poor? I mean, it reeks of political BS. And this plan to give cheap Metro cards to the quote poor unquote. Like the guy wearing $400 sneakers that wears in the project. I guess he's poor. It's going to cost $130 million of the $400 million. So we're now the yellow cabs are paying, in essence, to provide Metro cards to people to ride the subways. And I say to myself, I get a Metro card every week for $32, unlimited bus and subway, and the MTA is going broke with these cheap rides. Things cost money. One of your great quotes, Abe, is when you said, things cost money. You have to pay for stuff because things cost money. The city apparently doesn't get that. And I just want to, at what point do they stop squeezing the taxi industry to pay for all these crazy programs? Because the $32 weekly Metro card, you can just hand it off to anybody. You can give it to, like, five people living in your apartment, and you can dog the hell out of that Metro card. And the city made more money when they had the physical steel token. The little, like you said, you love that token. We could even go into a coffee shop and get coffee in a Danish, and it was accepted in the coffee shops or the delis. And the Metro card, you basically have people paying 60 cents per ride to ride the trains. with the existing MetroCard. So we got to look into that, because now it's coming out of our pocket. I'm trying to figure out why this bullshit is coming out of our pocket. So
it
your
shouldn't
thoughts.
Be.
Why are we incentivizing a program that is paying the yellow cab driver less money? Why is the yellow cab driver incentivizing his customers or her customers? I was going to say his, 99% guys. Why is the yellow cab driver incentivizing his customers to pay him less? Okay, why are we basically doing all this credit card mumbo jumbo in cans and stickers and here and there, blah, 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 when the yellow cab driver say, listen, there should be at least some fair processing fee. If you're going to run a credit card, I mean, like the gas stations, there should be like 2% or 3% more, or else just a good old-fashioned fare increase, because right now we're making 5% less. We're making 5% less money on all these credit card charges. And it wasn't a big deal in the beginning because it was a novelty. It's like, hey, you know, what they say at first? Is it, oh, we have to charge a lot. We have to charge 5% because there's a loss factor. A loss factor. Okay, well, the new program, we have to see what the loss factor is. Loss factor is not that bad, okay? And it's not 5%. And I got news for you, pal. You got a lot of other options out there for taking credit cards. You got a lot of people out there with handheld devices that only charge 1.5% or 2% for a credit card charge. So you got a situation now where the cabbies are getting whacked at 5%. It shouldn't be 5%. And it's just another situation of they wonder why there are no cabs going out at night and why there are a lot of cabs sitting and the medallion value is going down. All the nickels and dimes add up to a dollar, and the cabbies just walk away and say, we don't have to deal with it.
The nickels and dimes, yeah, when you figure in the MTA surcharge and the TIF surcharge, right, and the Easy Pass money, you know, which the, yep, passengers, yes, are supposed to be the ones paying that, you know, right, it all in the end is money that we shouldn't be paying, that we could be earning, okay?
Yeah.
All right. The Easy
Pass, it's money in that is thrown into the fare. That people, a lot of these people, they don't know the structure of the cab. There's no rates on the door. They don't know what the surcharges are. They just,
right,
see a bunch,
right,
of money on the meter,
right,
that has to be,
exactly,
paid.
Exactly. Right.
No, there's, like you said, with,
right,
your legal, with your lawyer friend, you tried to get the TLC to put the taxi sticker rates on the side of cab doors.
Right.
People don't know what 30 cents and 50 cents, a dollar, this and that. They just see a number on the meter. And the cabbie, invariably, it comes out of his pocket. And you got to pay people in New York. You got multi-million and billion-dollar construction price projects going up right and left. I don't know why there's such a conspiracy to keep cab drivers and the small business owners like you poor. It seems like it's a conspiracy of these invisible hands that want to keep the taxi business and the taxi operators broke all the time. And these people are millionaires. They don't care. They want service. They're willing to pay another dollar or two for the cab driver or for a cab. I mean, like I said, if you have the guy who smells like a funky butt with a Gatorade piss bottle on the floor, that is the guy you're going to get if you don't want to pay cab drivers. That's the guy who's going to be driving cabs. The guy with funky butt and Gatorade piss bottles on the floor with a bunch of old newspapers, that's who you're going to get when you don't pay people. All right? You want to pay people, you'll get a better driver. You'll keep a better driver. And I'll tell you something else, Abe. You were an owner-driver for many years.
Mm-hmm.
We have to bring back the owner-drivers. There was too much stuff where we got away from having, and we got away from rewarding the owner-drivers of this business. And it's extremely difficult to be, I mean, one thing about the Uber drivers, good, bad, or indifferent, a lot of these guys own their cars. A lot of these Uber drivers own their cars. And a lot of yellow cab drivers, with this climate today, especially with this dopey surcharge thing on the horizon, they're not buying cars like they used to. They're not buying cars and leasing medallions. They're not buying used cars. We have to bring back the owner-driver.
If you
were an owner-driver for many years,
I know, but
I'm sorry?
But if you want to bring back the owner-driver, you know, it's these owner-drivers that have been foreclosed on because they couldn't pay their million-dollar notes or whatever. Okay,
yeah.
It's the owner drivers, yes, that have committed suicide because they couldn't pay their million-dollar notes. Okay,
yeah,
and So you have to bring the medallion down. And I hate to say this because I'm a medallion owner. I paid for my medallion. Okay, so I'm a loser in this deal. But I wouldn't mind that if the medallion price was stabilized at around 500,000 or 550 or 600,000. Okay, even okay,
right.
Where somebody can make a loan for that amount of money and be able to pay it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and that's how you're going to get the owner drivers. Okay, right now the medallions are going so cheap; they should be running to get in. Okay,
you would think because for a small business in New York, if you could get a small business of any kind, I'm talking about a deli, a pizza, whatever, for like $200,000-$300,000, say $350,000, that's the price of a deli. That's the price of a pizzeria. That's the price of whatever a little business. It's going to be in New York. It's going to be about $300,000, maybe $350,000 or something like that. A decent business.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I don't understand why these people aren't running. And I'll tell you another thing is the TLC rules that have they've rigged the system to make it so easy to pull the hack license of a cab driver. I mean, you get some nut in your cab complains about you at a phone hearing. There's really so many different ways a taxi driver can lose the hack license based on hearsay. And they made all these rules, and you know, and the ironic part is a lot of the people who made the rules, first of all, they never drove cabs, and second of all, they're gone. They're not even in the city anymore. I checked out where some of these former TLC commissioners are in general, and some of these people who worked for the TLC, they don't even live in the city anymore. So we're stuck here in New York City with a bunch of rules created by people who are just out of the city and they're gone. So they wonder why the taxi business is down the drain. That's a good reason right now. But hey, what else we got on the agenda here?
I just want to say one last thing. For a credit union to foreclose on somebody that was still paying their notes regardless of what they were is insane. Okay?
That is insane. I know exactly what you're talking about. Tell the people who don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, if you had a note for $700,000 or $800,000 or even $1 million and you were still paying it, okay, to foreclose and then re-auction this medallion for far less than that when the guy was still paying his note doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
That's an excellent point, Abe, because I heard a couple of people say that. Let's say I say, all right, well, I'm taking, I paid too much apparently now, and the loan is $700,000, but I'm paying, let's say you're paying $4,000 a month. Okay, well, I'm working my butt off, but I'm paying the $4,000 a month like clockwork. You can set your watch by it. And then they want to come after your house. They want you to co-sign your house, or they want to see if you have any other property. It's like, hey, this is a business. I signed on to take a loan with you based on this medallion. And you can jump back and say, hey, you're the big shot to the credit union. Why don't you protect this investment? You get floors of lawyer, you get floors of people making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. You get political connections. Why do I, the cab driver, not have to run into the street and hold up a sign in front of City Hall to demonstrate about me going into business? What the hell were you people doing all this time while this was happening? Oh, I know what you were doing. You were financing Uber cars through your credit union. How about that? That's another thing I heard, all right? So we have these people working both sides of the street, and they have threatened people with foreclosure to take their medallions away, when in fact the person has been paying their note on time all the time. Thank you for bringing that up, because I somebody told me that the other day, because I thought they were just foreclosing on people who stopped paying, and they said no, they're foreclosing on people who don't want to co-sign their houses and their peripheral property to bring it up to the level of $700,000, which I say is, hey, I could see one hand if the person stops paying. They say, listen, you're not paying your loan. We got to take this thing back because you're just, you know, you're deadbeat. You got to go. But if someone's paying their note every month, or at least trying to make an adjustment in the note until the storm is over, they're threatening to take that medallion away. This is why guys are jumping into the river.
I know. Somewhere, somehow, some way, these credit unions that have done this have concluded that it makes sense to them. And I'd love to hear their rationalization for doing this, okay? Because they're taking a medallion with the guy, with the loaner, the lender, owed a large sum of money and was still paying the note, and then they're taking it away and auctioning it off for far less than what was owed. Okay. Now I think
are they auctioning it off to some of their little friends on the side?
I don't know, Mike. I'm not making any assumptions. Okay. But it's possible, and I lost my train of thought there. It's possible, and I can't remember what I was going to say. Okay.
No, it's possible that the credit union taking away the medallion from a guy who's paying a loan, and I'll tell you something else. A lot of that monthly note is the interest.
It's possible that the difference, say, between the amount that was lent was borrowed, and the amount that they're auctioning it for, the difference was paid by the NCUA insurance. Okay, because the money that they used to lend it was insured.
Right.
You know, these are people that save money with the credit union. Okay, that you know, you have the FDIC in the bank, and you have the NCUA in a credit union, and these people, if you have $250,000 deposited, okay, that money is insured. Okay, and if the credit union loses your money because they say, well, the person owes more than what it's worth, okay, and they take the medallion back, well, that money that was lent from a savings account of somebody who was insured, so the money comes back in the insurance. I'm not absolutely sure of what I'm saying, but that's the only logic that can be. Okay, that they're getting the money somewhere else, so they wanted to take the medallions off their books. Okay, and be out of that business. Okay. Okay.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. They want to be out of the business. For a long time, they were in the business, and they could have given the cabbies a lot more support in the big picture than apparently they have. I mean, they could have told the drivers, "Hey, you guys might want to slow it down because there's a storm brewing on the horizon."
I know.
And if they would have seen this, they should have told people before they spent $800,000.
Well, it's their own fault.
Before they jumped into the river,
it's their own fault for lending out this amount of money. Okay, when they held these auctions where people were bidding $1 million, $1.2 million, $1.3 million, they should have said, "Look, we're not going to back you on this. So you could bid what you want, but we're not lending more than this amount. Say $600,000 or $700,000. If you want to bid $1 million for your medallion, well, we're only going to give you $600,000 or $700,000. You're going to have to find another place to get the rest of the money." Okay.
Well, this dovetails with the savings and loan crisis, with the housing crisis, where you had people who really didn't have the resources to maintain a loan for the house, and they were just throwing money at them, no money down, 5% down, and I think one of the problems was, when these medallions are sold direct auction from the city, a lot of guys got 100% financing, 95% financing, 90% financing, and you got to say, "Listen, you got to come up with at least, you know, you and a partner, like $50,000 apiece or $25,000 apiece, at least 10% down, so you have some skin in the game, so we can see you're a real person," instead of just handing a medallion and then skipping away. So I think a lot of these guys got in the jackpot. They got in way over their head. My God, I mean, if you're an owner driver driving a cab, you get $1 million on your back for a cab. I was looking at this. I mean, God bless them if they can get $1 million, but you got to see to yourself, how is this sustainable? How can you possibly rationalize $1 million for one cab that you're driving? I mean, maybe if you're sending it out as a fleet, but owner driving one cab for $1 million, I don't know. It was a little creepy, and now the dog has bit. But I'll tell you something. Another thing, Abe, a lot of these guys should be taken to task because they could have easily defended this business a lot more than they had. They could have gone to the political dinners. They could have made contributions to the politicians. They could have talked to the mayors. They could have talked to the governor. All this legwork they should have done instead of waiting to the last second when this is dropped in their lap, and now they're going to go around suing cabbies and threatening to take their houses when a guy's paying on time. And the guy, and like I said, the bulk of the note that's being paid on time is interest on the $700,000. Say, look, Bobby, I'm paying like 80% of my monthly note is interest on a $700,000 loan. Somebody's happy. Not me, of course, because I'm getting screwed.
Right.
But as a credit union, if you're getting, you know, most of this monthly money coming in, if you're paying $4,000 a month for a taxi note, $3,000 a month is interest. It's pure profit. You're not even
right.
making chicken. You're not making chicken. You're not fixing cars. You're not cutting grass. It's just money that is being sent into you that you can turn give back to your credit union members. Why is this such a problem? I'm just paying you your interest. I know one guy, we know him as a mutual friend. I don't want to say his name on the air. That was his point. He's like, listen, I'm paying my note, and most of the note I'm paying you every month is interest. You're getting your profit every month from me. So now you want to take my house, now you want to take my my car. And when you co-sign your house or your personal property, you also attach that. In my opinion, from what I've heard from a couple of legal mm-hmm. people, you run the risk of attaching that to a lawsuit. So whereupon you have the corporate veil for a medallion on insurance and liability, once you assign your house to risk, once you co-sign, hey, guess what? Maybe they can take your house in a lawsuit too. All right? So now that's another mess within the mess.
Okay.
So thank you for bringing that up. You're a smart guy. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. So let's end that topic. Okay. I don't think there's anything more to
no,
say about
let's
it.
Let's keep talking another yeah. 20 minutes.
Okay. The last thing we're going to talk about today that you mentioned last night that I wrote down is Escape from LaGuardia.
Right.
Okay.
Escape from LaGuardia. Well, it used to be Escape from JFK, but JFK is a fickle beast. I mean, I love JFK. I love the coffee shop. I love hanging out at JFK. But, man, right now JFK is feast or famine. There's either very busy or it's a dead zone. So I said, let me try LaGuardia. And LaGuardia lately has been very good. I must say, Sam Schwartz and even the Wookiee, Governor Cuomo! I call him the political Wookiee. So Governor Cuomo, who's running for his third term, God help us. LaGuardia is better for the cab drivers. Terminal D is very good by Delta. That's what the D is for, Delta D.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, I went in there, and your sage advice saying, Mike, don't wait at the airport, don't wait at the airport, don't wait at the airport. And so I went into Delta D. It was just real slow. And I said, what do I do? How do I... And it was like a horror movie, because I'm sitting in the line, and the cabs keep coming in. The cabs keep coming, they're coming, coming. And there was a little tiny window of opportunity for me to escape from Delta D and go back to the city. So at the very last minute, I was like, do I stay here and wait, or do I get out of here? So I got out of there. I literally just squeezed through a tiny little seam in the cabbies, and one of the other cabbies helped me escape, so to speak. He, like, moved a orange pylon or something, and I was able to hit the streets. And when I went into the city, I marked my time. I escaped from LaGuardia at, what was it, at 4:20. And then I got into the city about 20 minutes later, and in that time, by 6 o'clock, I had made enough money where... If it was a Kennedy job for $60 or $70, I would have gotten the same money. But in LaGuardia, I would have been waiting for another hour, maybe get a $20 job. So I did escape, and I made money. And thank you, Abe, for kicking me in the butt to say get out of the airport.
I know. One thing I never liked about the airports is that once you're in that holding zone, you're in jail. Okay, you can't get out until the other cars move. Okay,
and jail is no fun, believe you me.
Yeah, I know. I know. You know, and that's why the way I used to work, Mike, is very simple.
Yeah.
If I went to JFK and the lot was full, I was out of there as fast as I can get out of there. Okay,
like a scared rat.
Yeah, and I used to do, depending on what time of day it was or what day of the week it was. Okay, I would go out to Woodhaven Boulevard, okay?
Yeah.
I would go to first. I would stop off at one of those nice hotels and use the nice clean bathroom, okay? The ones that are near, you know, just north of the airport, right? Okay. And they never threw me out. I just walk in and use the bathroom, okay? You know, wash my face, wash my hands, pee in a clean toilet bowl, okay? All right. or whatever I had to do, okay? And then I would go out to Woodhaven Boulevard, Cross Bay Boulevard, okay, which turns into Woodhaven, and I would cruise that, and there was a Wendy's, I think, on Metropolitan Avenue, Woodhaven Boulevard. Is that a Wendy's?
Right.
Okay, and sometimes I would go in there and use that bathroom, okay? And perhaps perhaps if I was hungry, I'd grab something from Wendy's, okay? All right?
Chili. You know, the Wendy's chili.
Or I'd get a cup of coffee. There's a Dunkin' Donuts on Woodhaven Boulevard. I might want a cup of coffee, right? Okay? And then I would either go up to Queens Boulevard. If it was in the middle of the afternoon, I would go up to Queens Boulevard, and I would pull up to the Queens Center Mall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'd wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe sometimes not at all, and have a fare that took me down Queens Boulevard towards the city. Okay, or in the other direction. You know, I mean, I would work Queens sometimes. Okay, and from there I'd jump into the city, or other times I would turn on Metropolitan Avenue. Okay, I would ride the length of Metropolitan Avenue all the way through to the Williamsburg Bridge. And usually when if not sooner, sometimes I'd pick up people like on the stretch where nobody is, but there's bus stops there, okay? And sometimes people would hail me from the bus stop, okay?
Right.
And take me in closer to the city, okay? And then usually by the time I got to Williamsburg, okay, now I'm on, I think, Grand Street, okay? In Williamsburg, okay? Somebody would help me in Williamsburg and take me into the city or take me somewhere into Brooklyn or something. But I was making money, okay? I wasn't sitting in a lot at JFK for 2 hours, okay?
Yeah, with a flat rate as your reward.
Exactly, okay? And on the slowest of days, I'd go all the way. Maybe I didn't get a fare, and I go over to Williamsburg Bridge, and the minute I left the bridge, there was somebody standing there waiting for me. Okay?
That's true. The big day.
Okay, and in LaGuardia, if the lots were full of cabs, right, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. All right? And I would go up 94th Street, and on 94th Street, there's a little deli on the right as soon as you leave the airport, where I could get a nice sandwich or something, you know, and I would go up to Northern Boulevard, and I would make a right, and I would cruise Northern Boulevard to the city, okay, and I always got fares on Northern Boulevard, Northern Boulevard, okay, and many of them were going into the city, many of them were going to Sunnyside or to Woodside or to Astoria. Okay, I'm making money while all these other guys are sitting in the airport. Okay,
it's amazing, and I see some of these guys, Abe, and you're 100% right. And I think I look, especially at least in my slim rationale, is if I'm waiting at Kennedy Airport. Okay, if I'm going to get a job, maybe I'll get a shorty ticket or get a decent job. I'll go into the city. It's going to be a $60 or $70 job. If I get a local job, it's going to be a 20 or 30. Okay, it's something. But these guys sitting at LaGuardia, you're going to sit there for an hour and a half to get a 25. If you're going back to the city, you get a $25 job. Big deal. You could literally go empty back to the city in 5 or 10 minutes. And as soon as you get off the bridge, there's somebody hopping in for $10 or $12. So you get two of those and you're even. I mean, maybe if you sit at LaGuardia, if you have to, and even LaGuardia now with all the construction, man, they got these porta potties. I know over by the. Let me just give you a brief visual of the hell the cabbies are going through now. If we go to the irony is, if we go to Delta D terminal, it's busier than the other side of the airport by the Marine Air terminal.
Mm-hmm.
But you have porta potties. You have two porta potties, which are, as we all know, disgusting. Then there's a regular kind of like prefab. Temporary bathroom, and not for nothing, but they got a guy handing you a paper towel when you walk into the bathroom. It's like, listen, how many people am I supposed to tip during the day? I mean, the guy
I never tip those people. I never tip those people.
And you know, I said to you, listen, you got a maintenance uniform, so I'm guessing it's your job. to keep the bathroom clean.
No, it's not their job. You know what they're like? They're like the people at the Penn Station that stand there and open the door for the passengers, right? You know, and I used to yell out to them, "Don't give that guy any money. Don't give him any money." Okay, some of these guys would tell them that they're the dispatcher and they have to pay for the ride, give him the money. And you know something? You think people aren't stupid? They give him the money. And I've had people get in my cab and I'd turn on the meter and they tell me they already paid for the fare.
Never happened to me. Did I ever tell you? Let me tell you a real quick.
Yeah, right.
I got to tell you my story.
Yeah.
I had a guy with the French guy, a classic example, like a Seinfeld episode. He gets to the Penn Station. He goes, I'm going to the Lake Hotel or some you know, like Eastside Hotel, like right. Directly across traffic. So he gets to the Penn Station, put the bags in with his wife. How you doing? We're chatting away, blah, blah. So he gets to the hotel. The fare is about $10 or $12. He goes, okay, thank you. He goes, take his bags in. I see it. So he's at the desk. I said, oh, geez. He goes, I just have to go inside. This. Okay. So I'm waiting outside, you know, a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. I say, excuse me, sir. I'm just curious if everything's okay. I mean, I have to get out of here. You know, I said, I don't want to get sick. I wanted my money. I said, I have to get out of here. Oh, no. I paid the guy at the Penn Station for the cab ride. I said, what do you mean you paid him? He goes, "What?" No, I gave him the money. I said, what do you mean, like a dollar? He goes, no. He said it was going to be about $10 or $15 to the hotel. So I gave the money to him, and he says he gives it to you at the end of the day. It's like, I don't know this guy at Penn State. What do you thought? What'd you do? He goes, no, he goes, you can't sweep. Then he gets aggressive with me. I said, you can't fool me. I know you and him work together at Penn Station. You're not fooling me. Yelling, I said, look, man. Uh-huh. I said, I'll call the cops. I want my money for the meter. I don't know this guy at Penn Station. He's a bum. And I want my money. And eventually the wife was like, and apparently she told him in French that he got ripped off, and he looked at her, and he looked at me, still with the mad look, and I was like, listen, Francois, how stupid can you be to give some guy who's wearing, like, you know, fucked-up clothes and has flies buzzing around his crotch?
I have to say to these people is, welcome to New York. Okay.
Well, you know, he doesn't want to... That's what I tell him. I say, listen, you know, you want to go back and talk to me? I'm going to hit the meter for that, too.
You know, if you're a wise cabbie and you know that these things happen, when you see that guy opening the door for someone, you yell out, don't give him any money, like I did.
Right. Oh, by the way, just want to bring the listening audience up to two new scams. There's a gas station scam where a homeless guy puts on a Day-Glow vest and tells the person, give me the money, I'm going to pump the gas for you. Gone. So he puts on a Day-Glow vest. He gets somebody who doesn't know anything to give him the money for the pump of gas because he looks like he's part of the gas station. Takes $20, runs around the corner, he's gone. So that's one guy. So you know, and then the person's saying, like, well, what happened to the guy, the attendant? There's no attendant, lady. It's a bum with a Day-Glow vest. He just got ripped off for $20.
Well, the owners of the gas stations should be looking out for that.
That's their property. They should be responsible. Say, listen, I don't know. This guy's on your property. I'm taking money for gas. So somebody's putting $20 of gas in my pocket because I just paid something on your property.
I might.
And the last thing is in front of the hotel, you got fake doormen now. Like you take the person's bags out.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, some guy walks up and starts carrying the bags. And I asked one guy, I said, this is true. I said, this is on like Madison Avenue and 38th Street. I said, excuse me, sir. Are you with the hotel? Yeah. I said, excuse me, sir. Are you with the hotel? Runs away. So he's all set to start carrying the bags away.
Yeah.
So watch it.
Okay. Well, this goes on. This kind of stuff goes on all over the place. So it's the taxi driver that should be aware of this and stop it where he sees it. Okay.
Yeah. But one last thing, that taxi driver. Listen, you got to start paying the cab driver. Stop chiseling the cab driver. You talk about progressive. You talk about working poor. You talk about all this immigrant stuff going on. Pay the cab drivers. Let the cab driver make a living wage. You talk about progressive and helping the poor, and poor this and poor that, and immigrants, and listen, you have cab drivers jumping into the rivers, killing themselves because they're not making money, and you have about another 1,000 or so thinking about doing it because they're not making money, and you got skyscrapers going up like $300-400 million a pop, building skyscrapers. The city has plenty of money. Pay the cab drivers. What is your freaking problem? Why is it such a big deal?
All right, Mike.
Unbelievable.
Mike.
Idiots.
Mike, it's time to take a cold shower. Okay?
No!
And I just I want to thank our sponsors for sponsoring us: MTBOT, Checker,
Yay,
WB, Tony Tax,
yes.
Peter Joseph, and
Peter Joseph.
And please, I don't even want to say please. I want to say, go out and buy yourself a Rates on the shirt.
Right.
Okay. You know, they're right. Selling. People are buying them. Yeah. People are buying them.
People are buying the Abe original design T-shirt that he has made because the taxi commission is too stupid to not put Rates on the door. So it's up to us, the lowly cab driver, to walk around like a placard with Rates on our chest.
Okay.
So this you can do, and it's available online right now at Abe's little website, the... Abe's done a hell of a job with the
Okay, and when I see Taxi News, go to the front page and visit all of our advertisers and click on their links. And if you want to become an advertiser, get in touch with us. Send us an email, or give us a phone call, okay? You can call us.
And if you want to become an advertiser, no experience necessary.
Yeah.
We can make the ad. We can get the wording down. We put you on it. Don't be afraid. Oh, my God. No. You don't have to have an ad to give those. We can make it in-house for you. Abe and you have a little cluster of geeks running around who can make that for you. So don't think that it's this big barrier. We're all, is it internet? Oh, my God, internet ad. Oh, my. No.
Okay.
Come talk to us. We'll figure it all out. Right. That's our show, right?
That's it. We're done.
Okay. And I'd like to wish everybody a happy Puerto Rican Day parade.
Yeah.
Congratulations to congratulations to the horse that won the Triple Crown at Belmont. I don't know what the horse is.
Justify.
Our love.
I just want to justify. Okay. Thank you for tuning in to the Mike and Abe Show. Thank you.
The Puerto Rican Day parade. I'll be driving in the midst of the Puerto Rican Day Parade today. Give me more. So, Abe, I'll talk to you up the air.
Okay.
And I'll catch you guys next week.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you, New York. Thank you, world. Goodbye.